The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus moved about within Galilee. He did not wish to travel in Judea because the Jews were trying to kill him. But the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, he himself also went up, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Some of the inhabitants of Jerusalem said, "Is he not the one they are trying to kill? And look, he is speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could the authorities have realized that he is the Christ? But we know where he is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he is from." So Jesus cried out in the temple area as he was teaching and said, "You know me and also know where I am from. Yet I did not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. I know him because I am from him and he sent me." So they tried to arrest him, but no one laid a hand upon him because his hour had not yet come.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So we have just over 2 weeks left for Lent. And as we continue to make our way toward Easter, the tension, especially in the gospel passages, is going to continue to build. We've moved into the Gospel of John, and the passage that we have before us today is already very tense. There's this sense of confrontation building, and when Jesus is confronted, and people say, "Well, you're not the Messiah. You're not the one that God is sending, because we know where you're from. And when the Messiah comes, we're not supposed to know where he's from." And the response that we get from Jesus is perhaps not what we expect. He doesn't really combat it directly. He doesn't say, "No, I am the Messiah. You don't really know where I'm from." Instead, he says, not that you don't know where I'm from, but that you don't even know the one who sent me. You claim to worship God, but that you don't actually know him the way that you're supposed to, especially as his chosen people. And this for us, I think, highlights something of what we're supposed to be doing through the course of Lent. And again, we're a little bit over 2 weeks away from Easter, and yet, even if your Lent hasn't been going well or it's been very difficult, now is as good a time as any to start again, start over, and enter into this holy season taking up practices of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, or doubling down on them, so that we're able to, as Jesus is talking about in the gospel, the whole point of these practices is not simply for the sake of self-improvement, to show us how good we are, but rather to draw us into deeper relationship with God himself, to help us to come to know more truly and more deeply the living God who reveals himself through Jesus. And part of it is, through this self-denial, we get to learn something of what the heart of God is like. A heart that denies itself for the sake of others. And this is what we're called to do as we continue to make our way through Lent. Denying ourselves, dying to ourselves, so that we're able to know that the God that we worship, the God that we serve, the God that we're here as a community in order to give ourselves over to, this God is the one who is love all the way through. Love that cuts away through even death itself. And this is the life that we're called to live. This is the life that each and every one of us are called to. And that we, empowered by our works of penance, strengthened by these disciplines that we take up, we follow after Jesus. And following him, we come to knowledge of the one God living and true, so that we can reflect that knowledge, that we can bring that knowledge, and we can bring that, not only that knowledge, but that true life that we receive in Christ Jesus to bear for everybody that we meet, everybody that we encounter each and every day, and so that we can be agents of bringing God's new life into reality here and now.